The abyss is not the problem. The problem is what comes out of the abyss. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web, PreemptionBroadcast.com on the web. We are talking about the abyss, the biblical revelation. The Abuso, some have called it the place of the dead, primarily the place of containment for demonic presence, has been, is right now, and will be in the future. Listen, if you've been listening to the series on the abyss, you've gone over a number of issues of this revelation already. In the book of Revelation chapter 9, now I think that every New Ager, I think that everyone who's dabbling in occultism, I think those who are Luciferians and Satanists and traditionalists and so forth in those areas should get a heads up concerning this revelation that the infinite spirit of God has given to us. The abyss is a place. The abyss is a horrific place. It is without question dimensional. It is without question that it exists. Let me say again that every prophecy that God has ever unleashed, every time God has said, this is what's going to happen, or this is what he is going to do, it has been fulfilled. So when you take a look at Revelation chapter 9 and begin to see one of a number of biblical prophecies, these are unprecedented as far as the content, the information. We've already gone over the fact that probably military in no way can detect the presence of the abyss, not even the remote viewers like Ed Dames and others, who actually claims to have remote viewed Satan, though I think it's the other way around. Listen, we're dealing in part 7 with the abyss titled Dark Matter, Unprecedented Destruction, or literally King of Destruction. From the article on the last newsletter, let me read a few parts of it. For some, dark matter is something out there that makes up part of the universe, an invisible substance that scientists can't quite seem to get their hands on. It's always been there. It's only now being detected. Dark matter is there for sure, but the what and the why are yet to be discovered. Listen, the abyss is clearly out there. The abyss is clearly in existence. The presence of the most horrific and violent and destructive demonic beings definitely are there on the inside. It is very clear that the one that had fallen, the star that had fallen, obtains the authority to open the abyss. It's probably going to happen sometime in the middle of the tribulation. If the last 7 years was to begin next week, somewhere in the next 3.5 to 4 years, the gateway, the doorway, the vault, whatever you want to call it, that doorway will be opened, and there will be from that side that has been invisible to our eyes will be opened in such a way that a dimensional breaking open the effects we've already seen in Revelation 9, the sun being darkened, the sky being darkened, a global impact, a catastrophic impact. Many in ufology have talked about the possibility of alien presence coming to this world, of something happening in an unprecedented way. There's been predictions that if aliens arrived, it would shatter the spirituality or the faith of Christians, and it would change everything as we know it. Yet for some 60 years, there have been those who have studied and researched and sought to find, to engage whatever alien presence that is out there. SETI searches for signals. Stan Friedman and many others have searched and researched and listened to the abductees. all that I've read, all that I've heard tells me one thing, that these entities, no matter how high the intelligence, no matter how vast the knowledge or what they claim, they clearly are not friendly. This is nothing in comparison to the shock and awe of the abyss that will open. We've already discussed the fact that when these beings, these destructive, powerful beings are unleashed, they only have one nature. They only know one thing: destruction, harm, torture, pain, creating agony and a psychological wish for suicide. Let me ask you something, that if it opens now, what would you do? Where would you be? God has already made it very clear that only those who have the seal of God, those who have the mark, the seal, the Spirit of God. We've already said, John chapter 7, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of their inmost being. The Spirit of God is given to those who believe on the living Christ, on the message of God's love and grace. Check it out again. Who is Jesus Christ? Why did he die on the cross? What is it that he offers that no New Ager has ever obtained, that no occultist has ever felt, that no Luciferian has even come near? The sheer love of God, the sheer powerful, living, personal, relational presence of God. Knowing God, the infinite, immeasurable, uncaused, caused, the uncreated creator. Listen, the revelation of God and his message to humanity is not just found here in Revelation 9, not just in the depiction of what will happen in the end of days. You can feel it in the air. You know that it's coming. Millions all over the world understand that these are incredible days that may lead to the end of humanity. 2012ers, many of them are predicting catastrophic events. Even Whitney Strieber in his 2012 novel gives a depiction of an alien invasion, a destruction, with only one hope, that there is somewhat the ruins of humanity that will start all over again. Oh, really? Start all over as is? Living, decaying, dying? Will it all occur again? Human government, Cain kills Abel, destruction, war, the worship of gods and goddesses, the sacrifice of thousands upon thousands of human beings, like by the spiritual Mayans? Come on. The end of history deals with the beginning of what every single human being has probably wished for and wanted. A world where there is no rape and there is no destruction, no war, no psychological destruction of lives, no physical destruction of hearts and lives. A world where there is no war, a world where there is no death and dying. And yet we look at the esoteric, we look at the many different finite spiritual streams like a mirage, tired, spiritually thirsty humanity seeks something, wants something, continues to grasp. How many continue to chase the spiritual carrot? Continue to chase and chase. Have you found what you are looking for? The reason I say that is the world that we're living in, there is a battle. There is a real evil. That's not just. It's not just. Listen, doesn't make any difference. You could be a New Ager or a Wiccan. You could be an atheist. You could be agnostic. The issue that all of us have to deal with is the presence of evil, the reality that evil really does exist. Listen, once again, from part 7 in the article on the newsletter, I go on to say these words. In biblical revelation, the Spirit of God gives us the word darkness for what real act of evil is. The word for darkness, coming from the original, it speaks of evil, wickedness, and that it is an active force. With the full biblical use of the word, we have the insight of a clear and present danger, a real living force of evil with a personality who's behind it. That's right, a personality who's behind it. Spiritual darkness is not just night falling and the dissipation of light. The spiritual concept of darkness has behind it fear, confusion, pain, harm, and all those things that seem to ruin society and our very lives. The biblical revelation of the concept of darkness is lethal. Is it the darkness like ufologists and those who are looking for the UFOs? All we have is an unidentified flying opposition, a kind of unidentifiable evil with no roots and no form. Maybe it's just the unexplainable force in life that is just here to make us appreciate the good we have. Oh yeah, as if that can comfort those in deep pain and suffering. As if evil is just a benign force, kind of the yang in the universe that if we get to see enough pain dying and all those who have been raped can realize how good it is not to be raped because they've experienced being raped again and again and again. I don't think so. The nature of evil is not here to teach us what good is all about. The nature of evil is not a dry, benign force. It's not the presence behind. It's not even, listen, darkness is not a cold, random chance thing that just strikes out in a whimsical, chaotic way. Kind of like bad luck. Bad luck. Where does bad luck come from? When we talk about the biblical revelation that God has exposed, God has brought revelation, God has given us a glimpse of what radical evil is all about, that it is lethal, that it is what came and invaded the human life and society and in the beginning. We were not meant to die and rot and be put into the ground. No matter how many times you coat it over, put in an individual in a beautiful casket, have music playing, flowers all around, we all know that death is rotten. Death is the end. And then what? And then what? What are you going to do when you die? Now listen, when the abyss is opened and these creatures come out and all of a sudden society, humanity, the globe sees that which it has always feared is out there somewhere. As Revelation chapter 9 says, when these things come down upon the earth, I can just imagine ufologists and others saying, look, an evil alien race has attacked humanity. Again, we've discussed, when this event occurs, what does the military do? What does law enforcement do? What does the medical field do? How do they stop these things? We don't have any broader revelation. We just have what it is that God has given as a heads up, as a clear message of a clear and present future danger. It's not that the abyss will be out there. It's there now. Could it be that Luciferians and others are doing rituals? Is this how the authority is gained? Since Satan can only operate where he gains authority, gains rights, gains a foothold. The opening of the abyss is acquired through and authority given, acquired. We've already mentioned and said to the Luciferians, to the traditional Satanists and the others, it's not those who have the Spirit of God that needs to worry. No matter who you are, the elitists and others who have acquired the powers of darkness and you've conjured them and you think in some ways you may have them in your pocket. Though maybe those in NASA and others in secretive scientific mill labs have thought that they have somehow engaged extra-dimensional intelligence and that you are gaining insight and gaining knowledge and getting technology and transmuting humanity. You're being led along. You're being given only the information they need to give you. They perceive you. They know what you want. They know that you have sold your soul for technology. They know that you have sold your ethics, your morality, your spirituality. You've sold it all. Like the Nazi doctors of the past. The old song from Black Sabbath. We sold our souls for rock and roll. Is that right? Rock and roll worth more than the face of God, the love of God, forgiveness, eternal life, glorification? Is that right? What would you sell your soul for? Jesus equated the worth of your life, your soul, your being, more worth to you than the sum total accumulative riches of the world. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? Is evil just an unidentified force? Unexplainable force? A chance, a simple bad happening. While we ponder these things, the reality is that an ancient being with horrid power, sinister intelligence, and a daytimer is pushing his agenda forward with all of hell's fury. There's nothing that humanity can do. There's nothing that raw, Christless, godless, spiritually dead humanity can do. The remote viewers cannot stop it. The psychics, the astral projectors, listen, they can't stop it. The sum total of a harmonic convergence of every new ager on the planet could not stop this. It's not in your realm. God has said very clearly concerning this personal radical evil with all of its methodology, all of its sinister intelligence, all of its plotting. You must understand that this evil is personal. And being personal, it has an agenda. It has a vision. It seeks accomplishment. It looks to gain. Biblical prophecy tells us that eventually there will be an incarnation, kind of a counterfeit incarnation of Satan himself. There will be a new world order. There will be a chaos that rips the soul of society, that opens the door, so that, as the ancient occultists believed, the phoenix can arise. God has said, Revelation chapter 12, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Let me read it again from the article. Let me say again, while we ponder these things, the reality is that, quote, an ancient being with horrid power, sinister intelligence, and a daytimer is pushing his agenda forward with all of hell's fury. Thus, as the revelation says, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury. Speaks of his emotion. Speaks of his rage. Because he knows that his time is short. Whether Apollyon, Abaddon, as in Revelation 9, the king of the abyss, the leader, the ruler, it again speaks of the sinister intelligence, the sinister strategy, the sinister ruling class among the rest of the demonic horde. Yes, the demonic horde is not just a random bunch, but has clearly revealed here leadership. Direction, focus, the king of the abyss, Apollyon, Abaddon. He is the king of destruction. Years ago, my daughter was in the backseat of the car with my brother. We were driving different places, and my brother, being generous and hadn't seen my daughter for a while, all of a sudden gives her money. As a gift, gives her money. More money than a young girl probably has ever seen. And he's sitting back in the back seat, teaching her a song, leading her to sing a little song like this. I'm the queen of the money. I'm the queen of the money. This little song about I'm the queen of the money, because she had like $50 cash as a seven-year-old. She's the queen of the money. Let me tell you something. When you and I can come to grips with biblical revelation, it don't make any difference whether you're an atheist, agnostic, a hedonist, an existentialist, a nihilist, whatever it may be. And if you just simply say, well, I don't believe this, that has been said before. You can say, I reject this. That has been said before. Your rejection or your non-belief or your unbelief doesn't change the unprecedented biblical revelation. It has never changed unprecedented biblical prophetic words. When the words were spoken concerning the building of an ark, and the world mocked, and the world reveling in its mix with demon-human hybrid, with its mix and its worship of the demons, with its human bloodshed, its cannibalism. You go read it in Genesis chapter 6. You go study about the Nephilim on the face of the earth. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, the mix, the evil, the radical evil, the hearts and lives of humans that have given themselves over. And that's right. As we speak to sub personalities, the unsubs, the priests and the priestesses that worship and conjure and speak in those ancient languages to the demons, as if they are your friends, as if they care about your life, as if the finite could ever give to you infinite. The article goes on to say these words. Behind humanity's own stupidity of sin and selfishness lives a beast whose breath can be felt and seen by many. This eerie stench shall cross the borders of the invisible with legal authority and rights and come to our side. Man shall see what it only once dreamed about. Sheer evil, a powerful, living, once unseen, dark being will come out of the shadows He will lead a sea of demonic beings to do what they do best. Bring, quote, grasping for air, unprecedented pain and destruction. It will be global, undeniable, unmistakable, unequaled. God has given the heads up. God has spoken about many things in the last days. One thing will happen for sure. This event will identify those who know God, are in a relationship with God, have the presence and power of God, have received God's answer, the love of God in Christ. The challenge for many of you is why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Listen, you can't make up a New Age Jesus, a ufology Jesus, a Gnostic Jesus. You can't come and make up some Jesus, some perversion that you can only put in your pocket and wish as if your fake Jesus was a rabbit's foot. The real Christ of God, Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 6, when he saw the living Christ, Christ on the throne, Yahweh Adonai. Isaiah 6, 700 years before God came, before the word that has always been became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. He walked on water. He raised a child from the dead and gave him back to his parents. He opened the eyes of the blind and instantly healed the lepers. He spoke boldly against religious, pharisaical, legalistic hypocrites, blind leading the blind. Hey, maybe you're a psychic leader, teacher. Maybe you're a New Age teacher, a guru. Maybe you're somebody that's sharing the spirituality that you have obtained. Yet you have not reached, you have not met, you do not know God. You are now the blind leading the blind. You can't even see. Jesus said boldly to Philip, I and the Father, we are one. Thomas knelt down and cried out, my Lord and my God, capital G, infinite God, immeasurable God, creator God. Creation even listened. The angels of God worshiped, and the demons of hell feared. Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. See, he's alive also. He's alive. He rose from the dead, as the ancient prophecy said, 1,000 years in advance, that the Holy One would not see decay, the Messiah would not see decay. As he himself said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The sheer power of God and the resurrection of Christ, blasting apart the finality of death, opening the doors to indestructible immortality. Do you know the physics of God? The good news is, and the simplicity of it all is, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you on that cross. Jesus shed his blood to break barriers, your sins, Satan's rights over your life, death's pool, and even hell's mouth has been shut by the work of Christ at the cross. This is no little old rugged cross. This is the wood between the worlds. This is the ripping open of the ultimate veil. By rights, by authority, by life that willfully, willingly, joyfully, with the motivation of love, sheer love, came to get you. He knows who you are, where you are. He knows right now where you're at, what you believe, what you have. Do you have the resurrected, living Christ dwelling in you in power? Do you have the seal of God? Every single human being around the world that hears the message, those of you in Beijing, China, over there in Singapore, down there in Johannesburg, South Africa, maybe friends up in the Netherlands, those Germans, you in the UK, all through Canada, down in Mexico, in Puerto Rico, in Brazil, all of you who have downloaded these broadcasts on the abyss, some of you have opened your Bible to check it out, some of you have pondered and considered, is it just another message tantalizing our feelings about the end of the age? Just another discussion? Everything that God has said has come to pass, and all those prophetic revelations that are left are on their way to fulfillment. You can make up your own spirituality and say you've got a spirituality. People have been doing that for a long time. That's exactly what the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, did when God showed up in human flesh. The king of the abyss. It's pretty simple. He is the ruler of destruction. When humanity listened in the beginning to the fallen cherub, we've been plunged into this trail of tears, bloodshed, pain, death, dying, and hell. What do you want? What do you want? Can I ask you? Do you want God? Do you want to know God? Do you want the gift of eternal life? Do you want to be embraced by God? Do you want to have the gift of life in you so that when it all comes down, or when you and your physical body falls and you depart, will it be as the word of Revelation says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, only if you know him? If you do not want him now, don't think you will get God later. Reject him now. You embrace the lie. You embrace the lie of self-exalting an autonomous life. Like the man that jumps off the top of a 40-story building saying, I reject gravity. I reject the spiritual laws of gravity. Does it make any difference? Selfishness, arrogance, destruction will come. You see, outside of Christ, you can die twice. There's what the Bible talks about in a series we're going to do here in the future on the first and the second resurrection. God says, blessed are those who do not take part in the second resurrection. Only those who have lived their life, embraced the lies, defied God, threw grace to the ground, and said, I don't want any of this. If you don't want it now, what will you do later? As God stands there now, knocking at the door of your heart, the Word of God says that He summons all humanity, all men everywhere, all humanity. That's why there's about 300 million believers in Jesus in China, believers in Christ in Singapore, believers in the Savior, the Lord Jesus, in Brazil and Mexico and Saudi Arabia, and even, listen, to those who download in Israel. They know this is Messiah. What do you have? What do you have in your life? When I rolled out of my bed over 30 years ago, the Spirit of God was convicting me and drawing me. God was on the outside, wanting to get on the inside, wanting to forgive my sin, wanting to break the power of sin, to snap the blinding presence and rights that Satan had. Wanted to take me off the list, you know, the guest book of hell. You see, God expresses it this way, that he's not willing that even one human being perish, not you. If you want to, it's on your head. The invitation, whosoever believes on the name of Jesus Christ, instant forgiveness. Christ comes into your life, giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternity. Every promise in the Word of God is yours. Your spiritual eyes are opened not by finite dark spirits, but by the infinite Spirit of God who comes into your life as the gift of life through Jesus. God wants you. There is nobody that wants you more than God. Have you ever read John chapter 14? He goes to prepare a place. He goes to prepare a place. He's coming again. Beyond the great black awakening, beyond the Antichrist, beyond all the destruction, beyond the woes that we read about in Revelation 9, beyond the abyss, beyond the final war, Revelation 19:19, is the fact that he who died on that cross 2,000 years ago, hey, once again, the heavens will be opened. Revelation 19. Have you ever read it? It's the future. All the contingencies, all the actions, everything being what they are, it all comes down to the actual final future events. And God has spelled them out. God has truly spelled them out. He knows your name. Do you know His? Can you feel Him calling you? I stand at the door and knock. These are the words of Jesus, Revelation chapter 3. even referring to dead, dormant, backslidden Christians. I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I will go into him and have fellowship. The fellowship with God. The presence of the Spirit of the Lord in your life. The sovereign and eternal protection. Once you come to Jesus Christ, nothing. Read about it, Romans 8, nothing in heaven, no angel, no demon, nothing, all of hell itself cannot separate you from the love of God that is found expressed in and through Jesus Christ. If I could, may I kneel down? May I look up into your face only as a vessel, as a witness of the truth, the prophetic truth and revelations of Scripture, as a witness of the person and presence of Christ. I implore you right now, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord, your Savior, your God, your King. Outside of God, what do you have? This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.